The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector, and in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hello and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading CEOs, analysts, developers and entrepreneurs in the country's dynamic real estate sector. We are going coastal on this week's episode. It seems the south coast of KZN is seeing some action now, and it's not just happening property-wise on the north. The south coast has some of KZN's best beaches and natural beauty and has been a historical hotspot for valleys, as they say, as well as retirees over the decades. But some could argue that it has lost a little bit of its shine and overshadowed somewhat by its siblings up the north coast. However, the development is starting to rear its head again on the south coast. And it seems to be getting attention in the region. The Renishaw Coastal Precinct, in which JSE-listed agri group Crooks Brothers is involved, is putting the spotlight on the upper south coast, or the mid-south coast, as some refer to it. Now, to get some insights on this development and where things stand, I am joined by Bartow van der Merwe, the Managing Director of Renishaw Property Developments, to give us the lowdown. Bartow, welcome to the Property Pod.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
I know my MoneyWeb's editor, Rick van der Kerk, interviewed you about a year or two ago, but it's your first time on the Property Pod, so it's a pleasure to have you. Before we get into the topic of the media release that was sent recently regarding the demand around Renishaw Hills, which I believe kicked off the whole development, can you give us some context of the broader Renishaw Precinct development? It's one of the bigger developments on the Mid-South Coast.
Sure, yes. The Renishaw Coastal Precinct is 1,300 hectares in size. We have received approval in terms of Act 70 of 70, as well as environmental authorization for a full 1,300 hectares. The precinct straddles two areas. There's one is Umdoni, and part of it is Initikweni, so it complicates our dealing slightly. We have two nodes that has received SPLUMA approval as well, nodes 1 and 3. So that is that we're currently selling, of course. What makes us slightly different is that we, you know, everybody's aware of the water and sanitation shortages in the South Coast. And what makes us different is we provide our own water and sanitation services, so we're completely self-reliant from that perspective.
You're jumping ahead. I was going to ask about the water issue, but how are you self-sufficient then? Can you give us some insight on that?
Yes, sure. We extract water out of boils and we treat it in a state-of-the-art filtration plant, and we obviously then reticulate that to the various houses. From a sanitation perspective, we build our own package plants across the various opportunities, and then, of course, we maintain and provide the service going forward. If I may add, this is slightly unusual that municipality would allow that, but I think the municipality understands that they need rates and taxes, and without allowing this, it'll be difficult to convince people to come to the south, and therefore they allow us to provide the services.
Can I get more insight on that, though? Because you say the land parcel straddles two municipalities, so which municipality are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm specifically referring to Umdoni municipality.
Okay. So for some context, how much of land falls in roughly between the two municipalities?
It is about 60% within Umdoni and about 40% in Itikweni, yes. So of the southern 300 hectares that I referred to earlier, we only want to develop about 270 of that, the remainder of which currently under sugarcane. But our plan is to convert that into conservation areas as time goes by. So it's going to be very much connected to nature, with mountain biking and walking trails in between.
So I understand JSE-listed Crooks Brothers Limited own the land and are part of it, but what role do they play? Is it just a land sales kind of setup similar to Tongaat 30 years ago when it first began, you know, converting sugarcane land, or are they equity partners and taking a more longer-term approach in the property side of things?
So it is not a one-size-fits-all. It all depends on the exact opportunity and the timing thereof. We need to balance our short-term cash flow needs with our long-term earning opportunities. The sale of the shopping center site, for instance, we decided to sell just to install the bulk services and sell the site off, and for them to develop themselves as opposed to taking equity in that development. But others we do ourselves from the start to the end and sell the end product. Like at Renisha Hills, where we sell a turnkey offering.
Bato, before we go on to Renisha Hills and different developments, different types of developments within the border precinct, can you give us a little bit of insight into yourself? How long have you been managing director at Renisha Property Developments? And are you from the area or were you involved in other companies before that?
No, I'm not a local boyki. I'm, in fact, from the Western Cape. I'm a structural engineer of background, and I used to manage the buildings division for a large multinational corporate. But I saw this opportunity to come to KZN and head up a development as opposed to providing input into it. For about 3.5 years, I commuted up and down from Cape Town to here and back. It was quite strenuous on the family, of course, but I think I've seen enough momentum happening here in the South Coast, and I've decided to relocate the family from the Western Cape to KZN in January. And I must say the experience has been unbelievable. It has been so welcoming, and we are really enjoying our time here.
So the South Coast is a tourism hotspot, and so it has friendly people. But it's interesting you mentioned that, you know, not often do you hear of people moving from the Western Cape to KZN. So it's good to hear that you're settling in quite well there. Turning to the development now, you mentioned, we'll get to Renisha Hills in a moment, but you mentioned the shopping center site. Who was that site sold off to? So will the group not be involved? Give us some context into that development and maybe the scale, even though the land might have been sold.
Sure, yes. We're very excited about the development of the shopping center. We sold it to the Cubisol Property Group, a group that have developed an order of 20 other shopping centers across the country. So the national shopping center developer, they have done made some good progress with respect to the design of it. And they're looking to break ground in the third quarter of next year. It is a development of roughly 14,000 square meters, with majority of which will be retail of nature with some residential opportunities at first and second level. There's also a filling station that's located on the site right next to it, and that'll be designed as an integral or integrated development. That site was sold to the Hamsons. That's been a resident in Scottsboro for roughly 100 years. They have several other filling stations as well. And it sort of is in line with our approach to first approach the local businesses and to see whether they want to expand their business and strengthen their businesses. The last thing that we would like to see is a ghost town of Scottsboro. With us being successful in the hill, we would like to see a functioning town, and that, you know, so that we can get the shine back that you said that we have lost a little bit.
Now, talking about Renisha Hills, it was the first development within the precinct, you say. When did that initial development start, and who was the target market?
The first development, the first units that were sold was in 2017. The estate is a mature lifestyle estate, so it is anyone can buy here, of course, as an investment, but you have to be 50 to live here. It started a little bit slowly, I suppose, with respect to price. The first units sold for 1.6 million. But we've seen some very good growth over the years, despite the challenges that the South Coast and KZN have experienced. That same unit now sells for just under 4 million. So I think real good growth for those early pioneers that took the risk with us.
Well, you've gone to the next part of the conversation now. In that media release that was sent out, it was quite unusual. I describe it as uncharacteristic for a corporate investment kind of compound annual growth rate look at things there. But it was good to see. Can you share further insights on that? Because it's quite significant growth. But one could argue that it's also off a low base.
Absolutely. I would agree with that it's off a low base. But it is not slowing down. And the selling rate within the estate is still roughly 25 to 30% less than that in the North Coast. So I think the gap is significant still, and there's still a good opportunity for growth within that.
Is it a case of people seeing value still then? What are the selling points of getting into the South Coast?
Yeah, I think value is definitely one, but I think lifestyle is also a very important aspect. As I mentioned, connected to nature earlier, all the mountain biking and hiking trails across the state is very attractive, as well as, of course, the good beaches we have in the south.
Quite a few of them are blue flag beaches. I interviewed someone from Pam Golding, I think, a few years ago, and they talked about that. Bato, just turning now to something that's made some news recently. I haven't covered it, but out of local newspapers have reported that Itikweni is trying to punt a new airport south of Durban, considering the Durban airport moved, and that played a role in the boom of the North Coast. I'm sure you've heard about it. What's your thoughts and views on that? Where you straddle both municipalities, but what's your thoughts on such a development?
Yeah, I was very excited to see the article, and I definitely support that. I think the development of an airport could mean the world to the South Coast. First of all, from a leisure perspective, I think other, hotel groups would find it very interesting and appealing. It would also change the dynamic a little bit in terms of towns like Scottsbury becoming a commuter town like George, for instance. So I think a development of a airport close to us, could really mean the world to us, absolutely.
And would it matter if it falls in the proper South Coast or in Itikweni?
There's obviously already the airport in Margate, which is about an hour south from us. So I think anything north from that would suit us at Renishaw. Anything sort of within a half an hour drive, I think, would be fantastic.
Just sort of inside Margate Airport, is it operational? Do we have flights there?
I'm not sure exactly the status of it as we speak. I know they had some challenges, but I do think they are open at the moment.
Now, Bato, I know you mentioned this, but the South Coast has had its fair share of challenges. And a few years ago, the water challenge was quite big, particularly further down the coast. So maybe not as much as in the Scottsboro area. But are things being sorted out? I know you seem to say you guys are being self-sufficient, but perhaps this ties in with a question that I ask some of my guests around, what keeps you up at night as a developer and South Coaster?
Yeah, look, I think the water shortages will still persist for a number of years. There is a pipeline that's under construction, but it is a significant project and it will take some time. But as I say, we're self-reliant, so we sheltered from that. What keeps me awake at night? I think just the general neglect of the South Coast and the deterioration, and whether, new investors would be able to see past that and take the brave step of investing with us. I think that's what makes me lie awake at night. But I must add, alluded to it earlier on, when you park here as a visitor, maybe at the beach of Scottsboro, and you see some neglect, you form an opinion of the place. But when you move here and you get to know the people and you become part of the community, everything changes. And I must say, I was so surprised with the welcoming nature of the people of the area. It's really, that's the fabric of a place, isn't it? The people within it. And it's been absolutely fantastic.
So is that a selling factor? I asked you subtly before, but more forcefully, what's behind the growth, do you think? Is the South Coast back on the radar, would you say?
Yeah, I think it does form part of it. I think it came as a surprise to me. There's not something that I bargained on, the people and the interaction with the community. But that's just one item, of course. So maybe if I can look at the question slightly differently. Back, when we started Renishaw Hills, a lot of people from the area bought, obviously, at Renishaw Hills. But as time passed, people from Gauteng started looking at investing here, and a lot of our clients now come from Gauteng. But when someone sits in Gauteng and I have to make the decision, are they going to come travel to the South Coast or the Western Cape to spend their money on their retirement, it is quite a difficult decision, and you need to buy a plane ticket and rent a car and accommodation. So it's roughly a 10,000 rand exercise, right, to come look at an estate. So what we're doing is we're offering people, you know, those that we think are interested in buying, we offer them a few nights free within our estate, and we fill their fridges with some nice food and just make them experience the place firsthand. And we find that that really changes people's attitude towards our town and just the experience within Rensselaer Hills.
I was going to joke with you earlier when you say you were traveling from the Western Cape because you probably landed at King Shaka. So you had like a 2 hour or more drive down to your development. So, yeah, it's understandable that.
So actually, on that point, it's actually only about 45 to 55 minutes in good traffic. So I think people think that Scottsdale is so far south, but it really is the Mid-South Coast. And it, I think the travel is more than a mindset than anything else, to be honest.
Thank you for pointing that out. I probably was referring more to Margate then.
No problem. All good.
Bartu, finally, from a broader development perspective, what's the next big thing, would you say, in terms of new projects coming up at Rensselaer? You talked about the retail, but, you know, could it change where, you know, you probably got like 70 to 80% still going to be natural? That's quite unprecedented for a development. So, you know, could things change?
Yeah, we're actually very excited about the next residential development that we are about to launch. It is going to be called the Restall Ridge Farm Estate. It is going to contain of about 100 new units, 70 of which will be freehold properties, and about 30 of them will be a small, medium residential node within that development. And there's two parts to it. There's about 35 existing farmhouses within that area that we're going to be renovating, you know, to be consistent with a modern farm style living. So just updating those designs. We're going to obviously be working with Amafa closely to make sure that we respect to the heritage component thereof. And then there's going to be 35 other new houses that's also going to be in a farm style sort of, you know, architectural design. Yeah, it's the most beautiful views from that area. It's a very tree-rich part of the estate. And yeah, very, very excited about the launch of that is going to be happen early next year.
Bartu, just to conclude, can you give us an idea of how much investment has gone, both in terms of infrastructure and the number of houses, like a ballpark figure? I might be getting you off the cuff here, but, you know, it's that what's already invested, but also other investments to come, including that shopping center.
Yeah, so Rensselaer Hills itself now tallies roughly 500 million rand. The shopping center is said to be in order of 250 million rand. I'm working with a group of doctors for the establishment of a psychiatric hospital and a doctor suites. That's probably going to be another between 70 and 100 million. And then very exciting, I'm making very good progress on the establishment of a private school on the estate. And the current plan is that the doors for that school will open in January of 2028. So only 2 years from now. And, you know, that would be north of 100 million again. So I think it's definitely starting to, you know, looking north of a billion rand in and around our precinct.
Thanks, Bartu, for your time. That was Bartu van der Merwe, the Managing Director of Rensselaer Property Developments.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. It's lovely talking to you.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories. The Property Pod.